Each failure is a step closer to success. You're listening to episode 8 of Learn With Us. I'm Nikos.
And I'm Ken. Learn With Us is a podcast for developers that want to be better programmers.
Okay. Good evening, Ken.
Good morning, Nikos. How are you?
Yeah, not bad.
You sleep well?
Well, depends how well is defined, you know. I slept well, but my dreams were wild, man. Yeah. Politics.
Good, yeah.
In the Middle East, yeah.
I woke up in the middle of the night telling my wife I was having a heart attack. And then she says, are you sure? I said, oh, I'm fine now. And I do not remember. Oh, I remember a little bit of it, but yeah, it was really quite interesting.
was that like a dream that you had?
I don't know what was going on, but yeah, it was probably like 2 a.m. and my wife said I was like rolling around in bed, and she's like, are you okay? And I said, no, I think I'm having a heart attack. And then she's like, are you serious? I think, no, oh, I'm okay now.
I don't know what people would have thought if they had me sleeping last night, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you mean about Middle East politics and... Yeah.
Yeah, that's funny. So, what are we going to talk about today?
Why don't we talk about making a Chrome extension?
Yeah.
Because I've been doing that this week.
Okay, so what are the benefits of a Chrome extension?
Well, do you remember the test recorder that we talked about last week?
Yeah.
Well, about a month ago, I was at the Ember meetup, and I was demonstrating the test recorder. And at the question time, I asked the audience if you had any feedback, and somebody says, could you make this into a Chrome extension? Because what the test recorder was at the moment was you had to download the NPM package and you had to like new up the test recorder in your code. So I thought it was a good idea. Let's make a Chrome extension. So I basically had to figure out how to do it, and I done it.
Cool. So okay, so what can you do with a Chrome extension? Like, what are like the reasons as to why you'd want to make a Chrome extension? I mean, obviously you didn't want to have everybody NPM install your package.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's one benefit, is now they can install the Chrome extension in their browser, and for every project that they're working on, that extension is there and ready to go.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. What a Chrome extension can do is inject JavaScript onto the page and then run that JavaScript, and then also communicate with that JavaScript via messages. And messages are a way of you have two types of script when it comes to making a Chrome extension. You have something that's called a background script and something that's called content script. And a content script is what is injected to the actual source of the page that you're running, and the background script is something that runs sort of outside the page at the extension level, and the two can communicate to each other via Chrome messages. They can't actually communicate directly, so you have to like listen to events from Chrome, if you see, because what my test recorder does is that the button that appears on the Chrome extension icons to the right of the address bar, when they click on the button, it sends a Chrome message to the content script to open the test recorder UI. And when they press the button again at the top Chrome extensions icons level, it then closes it. That's the only thing that it does. So I had to create a Chrome developer account, or you can use your personal one. You pay $5, and there's a big form that you fill out. It actually didn't take me that very much long. It took me like I don't know, 20 minutes or something. And then you submit your packaged files up to the Chrome Web Store, and then it appears just on the extension search.
They don't have like an approval process?
Well, if they did, it was like 60 seconds long.
Yeah, I think I remember the same one. Sign up for the Android developer account is you just pay that $25 fee or whatever it is, and your apps are pretty like ready to go like right away.
Yeah, I guess the $5 fee is just to stop people spamming the store, you know.
Right. Cool. Yeah, some of the Chrome extensions that I'm just looking at, the ones that I've been using over the years, and so I use the Evernote extension, which like lets you make a snapshot of a website and leave some comments on it in your Evernote account.
Yep.
So that's a pretty common one. Another one that I've used is the Buffer app. So Buffer lets you kind of collect and curate your tweets or your Facebook and Instagram and all your social media posts and like buffer them out over time. And they have an extension that just lets you like, you can buffer a website, like a link to a website, or you can just like create your own post and then just select like what social media profiles you want to dish it out to. So it's just like a quick interface right in the toolbar of Chrome, rather than going to like a Buffer dashboard and then managing it from there. So that's kind of nice. Another one I use is Rescue Time, and so that like just kind of keeps track of the websites that I go to throughout the day, and then it kind of gives me a report. They have a dashboard that gives me a report as to like where I was spending most of my time. Rescue Time.
Okay, that sounds interesting.
Yeah, it's an extension that just kind of tracks like how long you've been using your browser. They have it you can install it at the computer or at the operating system level too, so it will track which applications you have open.
Really?
Yeah, but this one will tell you like which websites you've been on, and it will even like, I think there's like in the pro features you can even like block Facebook or Twitter for certain hours if you wanted to.
I use self-control app for that.
Yeah, is that a Chrome extension?
No, it's a computer level.
Oh, okay. And I think there are some focus oriented Chrome extensions that will do that, where if you like go to Facebook, it'll just serve a black page or something like that.
Okay.
But yeah, those are the kind of extensions I use. What other extensions? What do you use for extensions?
Well, at the moment I just have 6 enabled. I use LastPass. I use Ember Inspector for Ember apps. I use something called the One-Click Extensions Manager, which allows you to disable or enable a whole bunch of them.
Yeah.
I have YouTube playback speed.
Oh, nice.
Take YouTube from 0.25 speed to up to 4 times speed by using the plus and minus buttons.
Cool. So you're not only are you with an extension, not only are you like able to inject stuff in the page, but you're able to manipulate the media on the page with an extension.
The YouTube speed extension does is it just you can query the element and change the speed via JavaScript, and it will then internally do stuff, but it's just JavaScript.
Right.
I also have AdBlock Plus up. and I have my test recorder installed, and I found this one called OneTap. Have you heard of that?
No. What is that?
OneTap is really cool, man. And what it does is it shrinks all your tabs into one tab and makes them into links. And it's good if you've just got a lot too much RAM being used by Chrome.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely check it. OneTap, it's really useful. I have the Great Suspender, which suspends tab after an amount of time to save on processor power.
Oh, that sounds interesting.
Yeah. I have Facebook Purity app, which my friend actually wrote. He actually Facebook threatened to sue him at one point. I don't know if they still have lawsuits. Basically, it blocks all the ads on
right.
Chrome. I have Visual Event, which is a tool that will show you any DOM listeners that are attached to the page on things that you click on.
Uh-huh.
I have CSS Diff, which will tell you the diff of a target of CSS between two points in time. And that's about all I really bother with, I think. Oh, I also use Grammarly.
Yeah, I've tried to use Grammarly. It was a little bit too heavy on my machine, uh-huh. So I disabled it.
All right.
It was slowing the page load down quite a bit, like especially if you had like things like CK Editor on a screen. CK Editor was trying to do stuff with the text area, and at the same time, Grammarly is trying to do stuff with the text area. So slows the machine down quite a bit.
Yeah. I like it. One thing is Grammarly doesn't integrate with Scrivener, which is what I'm using to write my novel with, a sci-fi novel.
Is Scrivener a markdown style editor?
No. It's copy and paste. You get everything that came with the original place you copied the file from. Although there is as a way to copy and paste without the styling, but it's sort of iffy. But a lot of authors use Scrivener. Also, I have this extension called Vimium, which you press F and it puts a small yellow keyboard shortcut on top of anything you click on the page, any links. Mm-hmm. So you just press F, and then you press the button, and it will then save you have to click it with the mouse. So they have Vimium, excellent add-on. That's pretty much all I use.
Cool. So we're gonna have to put all of the links for these hundreds of extensions in the show notes.
I'll add them on the email.
Yeah. So we haven't been that great with our show notes. So, we'll try to add as many of these as we can. Cool. Well, that sounds like it's going to tell you how they a lot of time.
What the hell? How you actually make the extension quickly?
Yeah, like I was looking at to get started. Right, you could go to developer.chrome.com/extensions.
Uh-huh.
But is that kind of like the de facto place to start, or is there a better resource?
Nah, the Chrome docs are pretty much the best for that. They don't really tell you anything more or anything less than what you find out there, and it's always up to date.
Right.
So to make an extension, you have to make this thing. What I've done for my test recorder is you probably go to the repository, you know, quantuminformation.com/test-recorder, and I made a folder in there called Chrome extension. I'll link to it on the show notes. And what you have to do is you have to create this manifest file, which is a JSON file, and you just specify things like the manifest version, which has to be 2, name the test recorder, give a description, the version of the extension. And then you specify a background property, and you specify a background script, And you have to specify what permissions it has. Like for mine, I gave it the active tab permission. All URLs, is it a work over any URL? And then you specify your content script. And that is really all you really need. And what I'd done was the build that I was using for NPM, I just copy and pasted that inside of the Chrome extension folder. And I just added a little bit of JavaScript at the end to handle the messages from the background script. So basically the test recorder JS file is what is distributed via NPM. And at the end of the file, I just added a on Chrome message function. So so you can do like if chrome.runtime.onMessage. So you have different types of messages you have, but you can have messages from the UI, from when you click on the Chrome extension icon, that kind of stuff.
So I was just looking real quick.
And all the background script is what?
There is a way in Visual Studio Code to specify a schema for your JSON files. Have you done that before?
No, I haven't. It's a JSON schema.
Yeah, so you can specify. I'm just trying to find the notes on it, but I've done this once before because I too tried to write a Visual or a Chrome extension, and then I found this that you can have. There's many different ways of creating the manifest file, but when you start reading somebody else's code, you're like, why did they omit this property and go the other way, trying to figure it out. So I decided I was going to use the schema and have Visual Studio Code check it. So I created a repository for that. Let me see, what did I do? So in the Visual Studio Code settings file, there's like a property called json.schemas, and it's an array that has a property for file match, which looks at the, I have a /extension /manifest.json. And then I point it, there's a URL property that points it to json.schemastore.org/chrome-manifest. And so that does, what that does is tells Visual Studio Code, hey, on this manifest.json file, use this Chrome manifest definition to validate my manifest is correct when I'm editing it. So it kind of keeps you in line so that you're not adding incorrect properties or you didn't forget something that's required, that kind of thing.
Okay. So this Thursday I'm going to the Ember meetup. I'm going to be talking about Ember and TypeScript. I still haven't actually done all the research for that yet, so I'll have to do that tonight. Something called Ember CLI TypeScript, which basically compiles TypeScript files into ESX files, and then the Ember just uses it as normal.
I had to try to take a stab at Ember probably a year ago, and they didn't have like first class TypeScript support at the time. And I was trying let's see. They had Babel built into the CLI, I believe, at that time.
Yeah, they do.
So I would have had to, before triggering the Ember CLI, I would have had to transpile my TypeScript, which it just seemed like a lot of effort to get there. So hopefully the new approach is that the CLI can take different inputs, and you could give it TypeScript, or you could give it ES6, depending on whatever approach you took.
Yeah, I think the Ember CLI extension or add-on just provides some hooks to compile TypeScript, and also it generates the correct TypeScript config on your project. So the extension doesn't really do too much. I like add-ons or extensions that just don't muck around too much with the way the tool's designed to be used. Like, for example, for Webpack, there's two types of loaders for TypeScript. There's TS Loader, and there's Awesome TypeScript Loader. The mantra of the Awesome TypeScript Loader is just to only generate output that works with TSC. And I just found it a lot more clear how to use when you don't have any sort of, like, too much of a middleman between the tool that's using the other tool, in a sense.
Right. Yeah, I like the way Awesome TypeScript Loader works. Yeah. So, in giving a talk at a meetup about something that you don't really have a clear understanding of, what's your, like, how do you prepare for that? Like, where do you start?
Well, I'm kind of used to it. So what I'll just do is I'll sit at home for a couple of hours, and that'll be enough to get me able to waffle for 10 or 15 minutes at this meetup, pretty much.
Do you put together a slide deck, or do you just kind of...
Nah, I used to do that, but now I just can't be bothered doing that, man. I just get up and talking about the code.
Yeah.
If it was like at a conference or something, then yeah, I would do that. But just for a really informal meetup, I mean... Yeah, it's lots of pizza there, and you know, you can help yourself to the fridge. There's all sorts of types of drinks.
Yeah.
So
now, are you a normal attendee to this meetup, or is this?
Yeah, well, like, I go like every second time, pretty much now.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Ember community is really awesome. But you know, it's kind of a smallish community, but it's got lots of fun people there.
Right. Yep. Cool. Well, no immediate news for me other than I'm going camping next week. So we won't have a
nice.
We won't have a podcast recording next week.
Uh-huh. What kind of camping are you doing?
The kind that you try to keep the kids quiet and the dog from barking. we haven't been camping in probably about 5 years, and so this would be my son's first outing. He's going to be four this August, so it's going to be a new experience for him. And then we have an 8-month-old puppy, which
it'll
be his first time out as well.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, that's.
I don't have any holidays planned yet, so I don't know. Might go to Greece. Might probably go to Scotland.
Yeah. So
see the folks.
When's your next holiday?
I don't have it planned. I'll be finishing. I'm booked with training up until end of September, 1st of September, and then. I have to see what kind of training opportunities come up after that.
Yeah. We'll have a lot of dead air to cut out of this one.
I'll be alright. So, yeah. Anything else you want to cover?
No, I think that's good.
Okay.
So, thank you everyone for listening to Learn With Us. You can find us on Twitter at Learn With Us Pod, and give us a 5-star review on iTunes. Thanks so much.
Thanks, guys. See you next week or the next week after.
Yeah.
All right.
Bye.
Bye. Cool.